James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. James 5, beginning with verse 13, as we conclude our study this morning in the Epistle of James and think about the power and effects of intercessory prayer. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Listen carefully to God's word. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. May the Lord indeed bless and sanctify us by this word of truth. Let's pray. Father God, we do look to you. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, the one who is our strength and our Redeemer, even the name of Jesus. Amen. James says in James 5, verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When a young girl in this congregation was in a serious motorcycle accident several years ago, her life was hanging in the balance. A serious head injury, among other injuries, had so placed her in need of immediate surgery. Even as late as midnight, 1 o'clock and on into the early hours of the morning. Right before that surgery took place, the elders of the church at that time met together in the session room, and upon their knees, they prayed in intercessory prayer, a concert of prayer for this young girl. That young girl is with us today. Most of us quickly admit the power in prayer, but I'm afraid that our commitment to prayer is sometimes less than our words actually indicate. I mean, if we feel pressed for time, if we are really busy, if our schedules are jam-packed, what is the first thing that we let go? I am sure if we really, really realized that God governs our lives based upon our prayers, we would pray more. In our concluding study in James this morning, James shows us the power and the effects of intercessory prayer. And the first thing that he says and that we need to learn is this: we should give a large place in our lives to prayer in general. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. When we suffer, we are to pray. The word for suffering here, by the way, is affliction. It means hardships in general, any kind of difficulty, adversity. You may have lost your property. You may have lost a loved one. That's an affliction, a hardship, and that is an occasion for prayer. Or it could be you've suffered a disappointment or someone has treated you cruelly and you didn't deserve it. Or maybe it's a child who goes for the first time to school and that child is frightened. Or maybe you're at the point where you're ready to go into a retirement home or a nursing home. What should a Christian do under those circumstances? James has the answer. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Spread before the Lord our concerns. I love Psalm 50, where it says in verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. In Psalm 107:6, we read, then they, that is the people of Israel, thousands of years ago, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. We are to pray when we face suffering and affliction. When David was chased off of the throne by his own son, Absalom, David had to sleep out in the open and camp away from his throne and his city and all the comforts in life. And yet in Psalm 3:5, he says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. But not only that, James also says in the same verse, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Singing to God is a form of prayer. Whose heart has not been lifted up as we have listened to the choir or sung hymns or listened to special solos and music in this church? Our own love for Christ seems somehow mystically to expand, and our courage swells, and we feel the strength and the power of Christ in his presence surging through us. We have a new resolve. That's what music, that's what singing does. Well, James says, if you are cheerful, sing, whether we rejoice, whether we suffer, or whether we are full of joy, let's sing unto the Lord. Are you suffering, or are you prosperous and happy at this time? Are your circumstances good or just right? Is the sun shining upon you? Is your road, your path strewn with roses all along the side and things are going well? Well, what James says is pray. Pray when you suffer and pray when you are cheerful. We should give a large place in our lives to prayer. Not only to prayer, but secondly, James says we should give a large place in our lives to intercessory prayer. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. And then he goes on to say in verse 16, pray for one another. We should be praying for one another. Before we see the importance of intercessory prayer, there's a question raised here, and that question is in verse 14, the last part. It says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what does that mean, anointing him with oil? The older church, from which all of us came at one time, used to practice the sacrament of what is called extreme unction. That was when a person was dying, a priest would come and place oil upon the brow and the tips of the fingers and the feet of the person who is dying in order to absolve of all sin. And this is the text that is used to teach the doctrine of extreme unction. Well, I think it's obvious that we don't need to comment at how extreme that conclusion is based on this text. There are various interpretations as to what the anointing of oil means. My vote gets the explanation that oil in this case was used for medicinal purposes. There's no magic in prayer. There is nothing physical, material that we need to add to our prayers in order for God to hear us and in order for God to answer our prayer. So I think that the meaning here is that the oil was in this particular time and period used for medicinal purposes, so that what the text would say to us in general application is when you're sick, pray and call the doctor. It is as Oliver Cromwell told his soldiers in the 16th century when they were about to go into battle with the king's forces. He said, men, trust in the Lord and keep your powder dry. Use every means possible when you're sick. Pray, and pray believing, a prayer of faith. But don't be a fool. If you're sick, call the doctor too. I think that is what the principle that we should draw from this. But we are saying first and foremost and all along that we are to pray for others who are sick, pray for one another. But notice it says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders. Sometimes church staff members and sometimes elders and others are chastised by the sick and the shut-in because no one came to see them in the hospital. Well, friend, maybe no one knew that you were in the hospital. And what you should do, because it is biblical, is to call for the church, call for the elders. Every person in this congregation has a shepherd, an elder or a deacon, who is responsible for you. Did you know that? Find out who it is. And the next time you get sick, you call the office or you call him. That person is to come to you and to pray for you. It is a step of faith. What is it saying? It is saying, God, I trust in you. I believe in you. I believe you can make a difference. Let these men come and pray over me. That is what should be done. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray. The Bible attaches extraordinary power to unified prayer, not just the elders, but to the church itself. In Matthew 18, 19 and 20, we read, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Peter was in prison in Acts chapter 12. He was actually chained to two guards, one on the right and one on the left, with chains, Jonathan. And the thing about it is, the church gathered together And it says, in constant prayer, they prayed for Peter in prison, and his chains were released. While the two men were still on the side, at night, the chains released, he walked out of the prison, the gate opened, nobody opened it, and you know what the Bible says? Peter said he thought he was dreaming. Does God answer prayer when people, his people, gather together and pray in unified prayer? You bet he does. There are many opportunities, I believe, right here in this congregation for you to engage in prayer. And one of the first is that you come to prayer meeting. Yes, you may go to a Bible study. That's great. Yes, you may attend a circle meeting. Yes, that's great. Yes, you may go to a youth meeting. That's great too. But the church is gathered for prayer, men and women, on Wednesday night, as a body. There are other opportunities. Did you know there are three men's prayer groups in this church? One meets on Tuesday morning, one meets on Wednesday morning, and one meets on Thursday morning. There are many other opportunities. We have prayer before service. We have prayer, the staff, before anything happens on Sunday as we meet in the mornings for prayer. I had a delightful telephone call last night. You all remember Jimbo McMitchin? Little Jimbo? He prefers to be called Jimmy now. He's 15. They moved to Atlanta. He called me and he said, I just wanted to share with you that I am preaching. 15 years old, I am preaching tomorrow night in my church. He is on fire for Christ. And he said, I'm coming back and I want to meet and spend some time and just talk. And I want to come to church. And then he said, do you still meet for prayer before the services? Because when he was 9 years old, he used to come and pray with those of us who met. And he said, I want to come. We need prayer. We need much more prayer. Why not start your own prayer group? Why not have a prayer partner? Meet with somebody. Find somebody to pray with. The strength and the power of the ministry in this church, your staff people and your elders, and to have a flourishing Christian community. It is based, I say, it is fundamentally, foundationally based upon your prayers, not your business, not even your money, as important as both of those are, but upon prayer, Christian. Do you remember when Moses went into battle with the Amorites? He went into battle, or Joshua did, and Moses stood on the mountain, and Moses held his arms up in prayer. And as long as his arms were held up in prayer to God, Joshua prevailed against the Amorites. But when Moses' arms grew tired and weary and his arms sank, the Amorites began to conquer the Israelites. And so two men came. Do you remember their names? Aaron and Hur. You never hear of Hur again in all the Bible, but he was one of the most important characters because he engaged in a ministry of intercessory prayer. You see the preachers, you see the visible part that is going on, but what we do not see is the basis of all fruitful ministry, and it is here. It is intercessory prayer, without which none of this is possible. And so Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses, and the Israelites prevailed. If you're a Baptist, it's all right to say occasionally, amen. What are the effects, quickly, of intercessory prayer as we move on? Thirdly, it says in 16c, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There are some conditions to effective prayer, and the first condition is confess your faults. It says, confess your trespasses. The word here does not mean the worst, awful, terrible, unmentionable sins that you've ever done. You don't need to go around telling everybody, nor is it justification for what is called auricular confession, where an individual confesses in a booth to a priest. What it does mean, the word means to confess your slips and your failures and your shortcomings to each other. You see, when you begin to pray, and this is the first effect of intercessory prayer, your fellowship with God is restored and your fellowship with your fellow Christians is restored as well. There's another condition. It must be a fervent prayer. It must be a righteous man. It doesn't mean perfect man, but it does mean a man who is righteous by virtue of his saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know what the Bible says? It says, if a man regards iniquity in his heart, then God will not hear him. What that says to me is that God will hear the prayer of a Christian. And if you will come to faith in Jesus Christ, then God listens to you. You have His attention. There are more effects of prayer. I said the first was restored fellowship with God, and the second is in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, that is, will heal the sick. Now, this view here seems to suggest that the sickness was due to some sin in the person's life. Now, don't think that sickness is always due to sin. Sometimes, yes, read 1 Corinthians 11 and you'll see it. But read John chapter 9, where Jesus was confronted with a man born blind. And the disciples asked, well, did this man sin or did his mother or father sin as to why he was blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents, but that the power of God may be made known. This man is blind. Sometimes your sickness is just due to the fact that it's your turn in your life for God to turn the burner up. And it reminds us of how feeble and how frail. Do you know how most of us are helped in our Christian lives and how most of us are encouraged? Not when we read about successful and powerful Christians and what the great leaders have done. It's when we see somebody who is twisted and who is racked with pain, who has failed and fallen on their nose, and they've gotten up too. And we know that we're just like them because we're weak and we have failed and we need help too. He will be healed. That's what he says. Now, I don't understand all of that. I do believe in God's power. Sometimes he works supernaturally. Sometimes he works through medical means. And I'm going to use all the means possible for healing. It's not a promise that you will always be healed. That is ludicrous. But sometimes, if it's God's will, God will bring healing through intercessory prayer. Through intercessory prayer. Several years ago, I was driving, going somewhere else. It was late at night, and I knew about a man, a member of the church, who was going to have heart surgery. And for some reason, his name just kept echoing in my mind as I was driving. And so I made a detour and I went to his hospital room. And there he was, visibly anxious, nervous about this major heart surgery that he was about to have. And so I read to him from 1 Peter 5, "Do you want to get well? Then commit yourself to God." And then we had prayer, intercessory prayer. And the change in this man was visible and was obvious because somebody prayed for him. Do you believe that your prayers can make a difference? The third effect and the final effect is the return of the wayward. Look in verse 19 and 20. "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin." That is one of the most important works of intercessory prayer. That is praying for those who are wandering. Do you know somebody? Maybe somebody in your family is backslidden. Maybe it's somebody in this church. Maybe it's somebody that you know, but do you have someone for whom that you're praying? I know I do. I know I've been praying for my college roommate who was a preacher and left the ministry and turned his back on Christ, and I have been praying for him for 25 years. But I believe sooner or later, his heart will be turned toward home. You have somebody too, I bet, that will return. This is the power and the effect of intercessory prayer. When we pray for one another, God's power is released in our lives. We experience fellowship with God and with others. We experience healing, and the backslider comes home. All of this because of intercessory prayer. Brethren, pray for one another. Let's pray.